Welcome back, everybody. Happy Skews Day to you. It is Tuesday, May 13th, 2025, as you're seeing this as it's airing. We're recording this on Monday, May 12th at 1:30 p.m. on the left coast. So if something crazy happens between now and then, you'll know why we didn't cover it. But that's what we're doing. We're here either way. I'm Trey, and that's Mark. This is Weekly Skews. How you doing over there, Mark?
Good, but I got a phone. We're going to be talking about the Trump's big free plane he got from Qatar. It's a really fun story for a lot of reasons. Unfortunately, we don't have time to talk about the biggest civil rights issue facing America right now, and that's that Bill Belichick can no longer take his teenage girlfriend to work.
Yeah, I wonder how much our fans know about all that. That's Bill Belichick, arguably. Well, I mean, I don't know how much. He's definitely, arguably, maybe the greatest professional football coach of all time, and he's now supposed to be coaching at North Carolina in college. He also is 73, I think, and has a 24-year-old girlfriend, and a lot of weird shit has been going on with her, where she seems to be doing some puppet master stuff and kind of dictating a lot of things about his life and what he's allowed to talk about, and it's making the university uncomfortable and just all kinds of crazy drama surrounding a guy who, by the way, for his entire career barely even spoke to the media because he eschewed all forms of off-field drama and everything as much as a person possibly could have. So it's all pretty ironical, as George W. Bush would have.
He was the no-nonsense guy. Now it's all nonsense.
Nothing
all the time.
But nonsense. Yeah.
Well, a couple of things before we get to the show. Trump's hiring Judge Jeanine Pirro to be the acting U.S. attorney for Washington, D.C. after he couldn't get Ed Martin. Ed Martin couldn't get him confirmed because the Republican, like Tom Tillis, some other Republican senators were like, "We've seen the pictures you took when you did the podcast with the guy with the Hitler mustache." So that combined with the fact you don't have any experience in this type of job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of surprised that either of those things matters, you know, anymore. Yeah.
You got to be either, you can be evil and competent.
Right. Right.
Or competent. Whatever.
Yeah. It's right. Like, yes. I know what you mean. Things. It's like you could be, you can't be both like outwardly insane Nazi level and also like bad at the thing they want you to do, you know.
Right.
Like you gotta at least have one of those two things.
Do you know what ended Judge Jeanine's political career the first time around?
We talked about it on here, didn't we? Hasn't it come up before?
I don't think so. Okay, so she was remember Bernie Kerik, Giuliani's corrupt police commissioner in New York? The feds had wiretapped his office and they caught Jeanine on his wiretap trying to get Bernie Kerik in his role as police commissioner to wiretap her husband's boat so she could catch him cheating.
Nice.
Again, they're all like this. It's so fucking weird. But anyway, she hires a prosecutor, the woman who couldn't catch Robert Durst, a guy so good at getting away with crimes, he went on to confess on television.
Mm-hmm.
Another, we haven't really talked about John Fetterman lately. I think it was the New Yorker that did a big expose a couple weeks ago of a bunch of people on his staff used to work for him are like, he's not taking his meds. He's single issue obsessed with destroying Gaza to the point where his wife is coming to the office being like, "What happened to the man I married?"
Yeah.
He's
right.
Missing his kids' birthday parties and shit. And the another one came out. So the day before that article was supposed to come out, he had a meeting with some teachers' union reps in his office, the union reps from Pennsylvania. And he eventually broke down screaming at them. He was yelling, shouting and questioning why, quote, "Everybody is mad at me. Why does everyone hate me? What did I ever do?" And slamming his hands on the desk to the point that the teachers left in tears. And then his staff went in the hall and cried with him. Like, this guy needs to be on murder-suicide watch.
It's insane. I mean, you know, not to fucking toot my own horn here. There are plenty of people saying the same. But the whole time, like, during the devolution of John Fetterman, the whole time I was saying, it's like, I mean, you know, I think maybe his brain is just broke now. Or, like, his brain is wrong. Like, I think he, like, he's brain damaged. He's not the same person or whatever. And it seemed like, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know, maybe he's just an asshole about this one thing or whatever else. But it's like it just keeps getting worse and worse. And it seems pretty clear to me based on every report we've gotten that, you know, something. It's not even that big of a leap to me. You know, you have a major stroke, it can fucking change you.
He also was hospitalized for depression, too. That's part. That's
right.
Here. So, but like, the point is not that any of these medical conditions are you know, disqualifying. It's that he's not the
quarterback handling it right. He's not doing it
right.
Right.
He's
yeah.
not. He's not. I mean, cool here. He's not following his recovery plan. This whole thing has been so weird, and it's not even really ideological. Like when if you plot like those organizations that plot left, right, he's like the 88th least conservative senator by voting record. It's just specifically about how bloodthirsty he is. And I'm not saying he's just pro-Israel. He's like bloodthirstily anti-Arab, anti-Palestinian. And, but that's not even like, I don't think the biggest political problem is that he's like contemptuous of his own constituents. Like he basically tells everyone who voted for him to go fuck off,
right? No matter
what the issue is. And it's like, so being a elected representative is a lot of constituent service. You just can't, people call up your office for help for their passports and you're like, I'm too busy making sure there are bombs in other countries. It's like, just really weird.
Well, what about, do you know about that thing from like when he was a mayor or whatever with the, where he like pulled a gun on a guy for just jogging, like a black guy that was just out for a jog or something. And he like kind of sort of held him hostage for a minute or something like that.
Yeah.
Cause
and then that guy endorsed him.
Yeah.
So yeah. World's weird, man. Anyway, but like the point is like, I always thought there's some kind of behavior that's really not like, I always thought the drunkest thing you can do is argue with a bartender about how sober you are.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like once you get to that point, it's like what a sober person would do if a bartender confused them for being drunk is just like tab out and go to another bar because it's not worth arguing about. Only a drunk. But anyway, there's a viral video of John Fetterman arguing with an airline pilot about why he doesn't need to wear his seatbelt to the point where they're insisting that he get a seatbelt extender. It's like when you're getting that kind of fucking public conflict, something's
right
horrifically wrong.
I will say though, although no one asked, just for a little insight into my psyche, one of the biggest problems I think that I have as a person is that I know that you're generally right about what you just said about it's like, oh, a sober person who got falsely accused of being drunk by a bartender would just be like, well, fuck this guy and go to a different bar or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not me. I would have such a meltdown over that. Like I can't, more than anything else in life, I cannot handle being like accused of something or however you want to put it that is not the case. Like if I genuinely hadn't had a drink, stone sober, and someone was acting like I was drunk, I would have a complete meltdown that would make it look 10 times more like I was drunk probably and end up getting thrown out and causing a scene and making it 10 times worse for myself. But I wouldn't be able to not do that because that type of thing drives me insane. So it's just a little psychology corner with Trey this week that Mark made me think of. Anyway, thank you guys for being here. Producer Matt's back there with us doing our thing. This is Weekly Skews. Before we continue, of course, always got the announcements for you guys. So we're going to do that again. First, if you want to see me do stand-up comedy live and in person, thanks to everybody who came out to Seattle this past weekend. That was a lot of fun. I did bump into a fully naked adult man on the street one night, but I, you know, Seattle, baby, was a good time. The sun was shining, so that was nice. No, I love Seattle. But next, I got Vegas, then Wine Country, Tulsa, San Diego, a bunch of other places in the near future. So go to TreyCrowder.com and check it out. Also, you can find a link to my special Trash Daddy on my website. Watch that on YouTube. As always, if you want to support this show, you can do so by signing up on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more. $5 a month gets you access to two full-length bonus episodes. It's just two additional episodes of this exact podcast. Every now and then we do an interactive one. We answer questions and whatnot, so it's a lot of fun. So get some more skews in your life, support the show in the process. And a new but brief announcement for you. Producer Matt wants everybody to know he's got some things going on over on the audio feed. We've said before, even if you only watch the show on YouTube, you should still sign up for the audio version of it on your podcast app, whichever one you use, subscribe to the show, because now you'll get bonus material for completely free from, no less, Producer Matt, the man himself, stepping out from behind the veil to the benefit of only our audio listeners. What kind of, you can't put a price on a treat like that. The man of mystery himself. You're going to get to know him a little bit over there on the audio feed. So subscribe to the audio feed. Even if you don't want to listen to Matt stuff, just do it. At least consider it. He's trying. All right. He's doing things over there. Give the man a shot. All right. So,
can I ask a question, Trey, for you? So what was the naked man on the street in Seattle doing?
So that's the thing. I'm so glad you asked, Mark. I wasn't planning on bringing it up until it just popped into my head. So I don't know exactly, but I will say this was not like a mentally ill homeless person screaming into the night or like a drug addict having a bad episode with like, this was like, it looked like two dudes walking down the street with their arms around each other's shoulders, like they're on their way to a bar. But one of those two dudes was fully, completely ass naked. He had
lost a cross body
bag around himself. Mm-hmm. And the other guy was, I don't know. They were just out for a little jaunt, jaunt down the sidewalk right after that. So I bumped into a fully naked man, and less than two blocks later, saw there's a college nearby, Seattle College, a 19-year-old college girl who threw up on the sidewalk, crying on the sidewalk because she was worried that her parents were going to find out. But the twist was she was in Joker makeup, so she was like made up like the Joker while going like, my mom's going to be so mad at me, and fucking runny Joker makeup and stuff. It was very funny.
Cool. But
anyway, Mark already told you what we're talking about today. The main segment, Trump's palace in the sky from the good, benevolent people of Qatar. Is it Qatar or Qatar, Mark, or what?
I say Qatar.
I say Qatar too. I just can't get down with the other one, even if that is right. But anyway, $300 million jet for our prince Donald Trump over here, and people are not happy about it, and he's not happy about that, and we're going to talk about it all a little later. But first, of course, we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Mac, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, this guy impersonating ICE for not knowing you got to bring a couple buddies and have a traumatic brain injury.
In a video shared widely on social media, a South Carolina man police have identified as Sean Michael Johnson is seen telling the Latino driver of his truck he's going to be sent back to Mexico.
No. No, you cannot drive, bro. You have not a license.
At one point, taking the keys out of the ignition, dangling them in front of the driver, and mocking his accent.
I don't be speaking that pig Latin in my country, bro.
All right, you can cut it, bro. Person
who plays. So, I mean, this dude looks like he's got what it takes to me. I feel like he's going to get recruited. Like, how much worse is this guy than actual ICE agents or whatever? They probably love to sign this guy up. It's not like they have much higher standards or anything.
Yeah, so I've seen reports in at least three different states of people impersonating ICE agents to kidnap people out the street, and I got to be like, we're really going back to learn some civics lessons the hard way, old school stuff. Why do we need warrants? Why do police officers show badges? I remember being like things get flipped on their head, like because people misunderstand how public records laws and stuff work. Like people were getting like, oh, you should, when you arrest somebody, you shouldn't publicize it because that means they're convicted. But everyone should be more skeptical of media coverage. But you when police snatch somebody off the street, you want them to have to say who they took and why. So the fact that we all rush to convict them in the public consciousness is not the main point. The point is you can't – there's no other way to do it.
Right.
So and not be a state, a country with secret police. Anyway, they're all wearing masks and stuff now, not showing badges. And they kidnapped the mayor of Newark on Friday afternoon, Roz Baraka. So the sequence of events in this story is crazy. You know what I'm talking about, right, Trey?
Yeah.
We're talking about Newark in two straight episodes for very different reasons. Newark's very on top of mind right now. So ICE opened up a private detention facility in Newark, not to the liking of the locals. So Baraka wanted to do an inspection, which he did as a surprise inspection because he wanted to see what the fuck's going on in there, right? So he took three Democratic Congress people from New Jersey with him because Congress people are automatically admitted into most federal facilities because they do federal oversight, right? So They went to the facility. ICE decided to let the Congress people in because they had to, but kept Baraka locked out. Then later on, they went back outside and just arrested him for trespassing, and there was on a public sidewalk. Then they immediately released him like an hour or two later because they realized they'd fucked up. And they could have, if they wanted to be really the top of what they could have done, because it's the weekend. Usually if you get arrested on a Friday afternoon, you're in there till Monday because the judge is off, right? So they hurried to get him out because they realized they were going to look like fucking assholes. They can't even do fascism right. So, I did want to say watching the video was pretty funny to me because all these protesters were heckling ICE and like they had that thick New Jersey accent, like with Italian being like, New Jersey's Gestapo over here.
I don't know, man. It's a fucking weird time right now. So Roz Baraka, is this the mayor of New Jersey, are they black? Are they Muslim? Are they, you know, like what?
Roz, like,
I'm assuming they got profiled is what I'm getting at. Because they clearly didn't know they were the mayor, right, when they
I'm the mayor of Newark, and I'd like to inspect this facility.
Well, then why? But what made them back? Why, if they knew it was the mayor and they were like, well, fuck you, we're arresting you. And then they were like, oh, we shouldn't have done that. Like, where did the second part come from?
The three congresspeople with him were, one of them was Rob Menendez, who on a phone interview I watched with MSNBC said that he watched an ICE agent take a phone call and where someone told them to arrest him.
Okay.
My guess is Alina Hava. Baraka is the son of Amiri Baraka, who was a poet and a black nationalist turned Maoist, who changed his name to Amiri Baraka after Malcolm X was assassinated. Okay. So it's pretty, America's, it's one of the things I love about this country. You can have like a radical person whose sons be like, he's like, we got to destroy the system. And his son's like, you know what would be better? I'm going to become mayor of the system.
Right.
Amiri was at times, anti-Semitic, homophobic, but he renounced most of it. It's a long life, but it would have been harder for people to believe in 1968 that Amiri Baraka's son would become mayor of Newark or that he will be arrested by Immigration and National Relations Service, which is now ICE. What a winding path this country takes sometimes. I don't understand. Okay. I wanted to show this video. It was Amy Klobuchar, went on one of the Sunday shows yesterday and was asked about this and this kind of stuff. And the guys of Stephen Miller went on TV and announced that the administration was considering the suspension of habeas corpus. And here was her response, which I found. Here's her speaking up for the We Shouldn't Do Anything caucus.
But to me, you know what? That isn't really the issue. The issue is that Stephen Miller brings that up on a Friday just to throw it out there. You heard the reaction of John Barrasso. This is not what they're talking about in Congress. Why is he doing that? So you asked me about it on a Sunday show. I'm telling you right now, he's doing it because they don't want to focus on what's really in front of them and that they have created havoc in our economy that was improving. And now we have people out there scared to death that they're not going to be able to get their social security.
I don't understand how it would be preferable to everybody's talking about the havoc we're causing with the economy. We better distract them by, bringing up the havoc we'll cause with the fundamental precepts of democracy or whatever. Like, why is it preferable to have people like talking about you tearing down, some of the pillars of this society versus like causing prices to go up or whatever?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
They're only taking away all of our civil liberties to distract you from the price of eggs going up.
Yeah, right. I don't get how. Right. Yeah, that doesn't. It's more like when Trump. To me, it's like when Trump. And I don't think he's doing this, by the way, because I think he's just this crazy and stupid. But it's like when Trump is like, "We're gonna reopen Alcatraz," right? Mm-hmm. Like that type of shit is the type where I can get behind the idea that it's like that's just a distraction from things that really matter. But like. But fuck,
you guys blurt stuff out. But yeah, but
I know, I know. But I still think it could. I said I don't think he's doing that because yes, mm-hmm. he just free associates or whatever. But I think it could still serve that purpose for some of the people that work with him or for. It's a feature, not a bug. It still works that way. But the things like suspending habeas corpus are like way far beyond just that. Like, that is the thing. That is the panic. You know what I mean? It's not a distraction from a panic. Like, that is the panic. Or should be.
Yeah. They fundamentally just – a certain type of Democratic consultant and centrist politician who just does not believe that the general public has values. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or any sort of, understanding of, but I don't know, man. I think people do. I think people care about freedom and stuff like that. So I don't know. Whatever. So Stephen Miller hopped on the Everything app X and said, talking about the situation in Newark, said today Democratic officials riotously stormed and invaded an ICE facility, secured the release of the fallen criminals and terrorists here illegally. They're saying that they're they were trying to make do a prison break, like you know when Bane freed all the inmates in Arkham,
right?
And they're trying to use these three Congress people taking a tour as justification for suspending habeas corpus. Here's a video from over the weekend. I enjoyed the spokeswoman because it's the weekend. They didn't know there was going to be a controversy, so they rolled out the bottom, the total backbencher here, whose vibe I very much enjoyed.
We should let viewers know there will likely be more arrests coming. We actually have body camera footage of some of these members of Congress assaulting our ICE enforcement officers, including body slamming a female ICE officer. So we will be showing that to viewers very shortly.
You say a video of members of Congress body slamming ICE
That's correct.
Officials?
That's correct, sir. It's disgusting.
Okay. Right. And
the closest thing that I see to that is one of the congressmen, a woman who is like a 50-year-old woman, sort of bumped an ICE officer from behind while he was shoving another woman. Mm-hmm. Anyway, one of the Congress people that went there was Bonnie Watson Coleman, who's an 80-year-old woman. And I got to say, if you lose a fist fight to an 80-year-old woman, you probably should not be an ICE agent. So maybe that's just to be the physical fitness test. But no, the official administration position is they are considering arresting these three Congress people, who again are Bonnie Watson Coleman, Rob Menendez, and LaMonica McIver.
Pretense, like legally? Obstructing an official investigation or something? Like
assaulting ICE officers.
Yeah.
And on the bottom end, the top end, trying to free MS-13 in a jailbreak.
Right. I guess it would be illegal to perpetrate a jailbreak. And so they just say that that's what they're actually doing.
Yeah. Anyway, so all that's going on. Amy Klobuchar's last words to the firing squad will be eggs.
All right. Our first honorable mention for Daily Dumbass is followers of QAnon for not realizing they get just as cucked as the rest of us. This is FBI Director, newly christened FBI Director Cash Patel, being questioned by Senator John Kennedy.
Did Jeffrey Epstein hang himself, or did somebody?
Senator, I believe he hung himself in a cell in the Metropolitan Detention Center.
Are you going to release all the information about that?
Senator, we are working through that right now with the Department of Justice.
When do you think you'll have it done, Cash?
I think in the near future, sir.
Okay, so Cash is in a real bind here. I want to do this as a QAnon update, because I think everyone thinks QAnon went away when they locusts, they went dormant because half the people got in positions of authority. They don't look stupid as much anymore. Cash Patel went on umpteen QAnon podcasts, right? He's deep in their world, deep in their lore. And now he just went out in public and stabbed him in the back because I guess the deep state got to him or whatever. The FBI has been reoriented to not just do immigration enforcement, to stop doing all white collar crime enforcement. But they're also are doing these nationwide pedophile stings called Operation Restore Justice. They had like a 1 day like raid spree across the country where they arrested 250 people. And I haven't seen how they were connected in any way. Like maybe they all post on the same message boards or something, but like the QAnon theories, they all have like horns and underground tunnels between their houses. So I'm not sure like how this is supposed to help, but he's trying to keep the lid on the people, his biggest supporters who are QAnon people, to not think he's like totally betrayed them. All right.
All right. So what the FBI under Cash Patel did a raid across the country with 250 different people, but all as part of the same umbrella operation.
Yeah.
And it has operation to do with like justice. Q type stuff, like child trafficking or whatever, or nobody knows what it is. They're just speculating.
I don't know. I don't know it is guilt or innocence of any of these people directly. But I haven't seen any evidence publicly released that they're connected in any way, shape, or form. They would be like an organized conspiracy the way QAnon sees sex trafficking in the United States.
Right.
But trying to triangulate between QAnon and reality is a really interesting tightrope to try to walk. Case in point, Pam Bondi is going through the same thing right now. Here's Pam Bondi being asked about Epstein a couple days ago, if you got this video, Matt.
No, the FBI, they're reviewing. There are tens of thousands of videos of Epstein with children or child porn. And there are hundreds of victims. And no one victim will ever get released. It's just the volume, and that's what they're going through right now. The FBI is diligently going through that. I haven't seen that statement, but I'll
okay, you got it back. So she's asked if they're going to release the Epstein files, and she says, well, actually, we can't release them because there's tens of thousands of videos of Epstein. That's Wilt Chamberlain pedophilia numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe her. No one's ever mentioned that volume of video footage before having to do with Epstein. I just think the response is pretty funny. It's like, because the real question here is like, we know you want to know more about the evil role this man played within our global political and financial system. That won't be happening, but rest assured, the FBI is watching a ton of child pornography.
Yeah, I've always thought that's a real rough draw to have at the agency, is getting put on that particular fucking duty. Because that is a real thing, obviously, that people have to do that. That's gnarly.
So the real reason, James O'Keefe, remember James O'Keefe, the guy that made, yeah.
Yeah, like fake. Well, I guess they weren't fake. He did like an undercover exposés, right? That were like bullshit, essentially. Yeah.
And then he got fired for using Project Veritas money to fund his own musicals. So he's got his own new operation where he makes sting videos. And so for context, of course, like we just talked about, Bonnie's been under pressure from MAGA loyalists over the Epstein files. They accused her of lying, needlessly delaying disclosure. Remember, she released some fake Epstein files a couple months ago. So they think she's being complicit in the cover-up. So James O'Keefe released a hidden camera video where Bonnie was confronted by one of his agents at a restaurant. Bonnie told the agent this story. Then she was contacted. I'll let James O'Keefe take it from here.
And his victims exist. What you may not know is just 9 days prior, the attorney general had a very similar conversation with a total stranger in a restaurant.
Do you know when the Epstein files are going to get released?
We hope soon. Nice of them.
Okay.
So,
any dates?
No, you know what it is? Videos, and it's all with little kids, so they have to go through everyone.
In the past, officials have spoken about.
So she basically bullshitted this story out because a woman confronted her at brunch. And by the way, I love to talk to random strangers at brunch about child porn, not just child porn, but top secret child porn. So she gave her this excuse, and then after O'Keefe emailed her office, she had to go out in public and tell the same story because she was about to be busted by the right wing rag media.
It is kind of somewhat, I'm not going to call it satisfying. It's nowhere near that yet, but the idea that Q is, sort of that now these people are the establishment, that Q is becoming a thorn in their side too. Cause I bet a lot of them probably assumed, that once they got in power that they're like, well, we're on the same team. They're not going to fucking, they're not going to give us any shit over any of this stuff. We are them or whatever. But, to the real basement dwellers, it's like, no, you are the deep state now. And we don't trust the deep state. And so the fact that they're being hassled, they're being hoisted by their own, petards, I think is what it's called. Petard. That hoisted by their own petard. It's funny to me.
Yeah. Anyway, so she thought, Bonnie thought she was bullshitting some random crazy lunatic who was claiming to be a nanny. But she found out the nanny was wearing a wire, so she had to go on TV and tell the same story, tell the whole country her whole story about basically that the dog just ate her pedophile homework. So anyway, I'm glad they're trapped in the same hell the rest of us are now. It's fun.
All right. Well, we're about to do it. Let's get into the main segment. What do you say?
Yes, let's get into it. So, fun series of events here. So, story broke yesterday. Trump administration kind of announced to their ABC News, claiming it was exclusive, that they are poised to accept a quote palace in the sky as a gift for Trump from Qatar. Let me quote here. And what may be the most valuable gift ever extended to the United States from a foreign government, the Trump administration preparing to accept a super luxury Boeing 747-8 jumbo jet from the royal family of Qatar. The plan is basically to give the plane to the DOD of the United States to hold kind of in trust. And then right before Trump leaves office and fingers crossed, knock on wood, in January of 2029, they'll be transferred to his presidential foundation, which runs his library for him to have as personal use. Okay. And then when people are like, wait, what the fuck? you're just taking a $400 million bribe from a foreign country. And they're like, he basically said the Democrats are losers for not getting their free jets from foreign dictators.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. He said on Truth, he said, he was like, now the Democrats are all mad. And he's like, so they expect us to pay for it? He was like, anybody can do that. That's what he said. Anybody can do that. It was like, Democrats are world-class losers. MAGA, and it's like, you know, in his mind, he's just like, what kind of idiot pays for something you can get for free? You just got to make people love you as much as they love me, you dumbasses. His response to it is very funny. It's a very Trumpian response. I'm not at all surprised that that's how he, you know, I definitely think he views himself as like an old, you know, like a conqueror of yore, or like an emperor, uh-huh, or something. You know what I mean? That people like offer tributes to and that sort of thing. Like he would have been gifted like a fucking elephant with a golden armor or some shit. Like back, you know, like this is the 2025 equivalent of that. And he very much thinks that he deserves it. You know?
Yeah. I just like it's like conservatives have always been the party of saying there's no such thing as a free lunch. And now you got the president of the conservative, who's from the conservative party, essentially being like in a Wile E. Coyote cartoon, seeing a pile of birdseed with a free birdseed sign above it and be like, well, here's free birdseed.
Yeah.
I gotta give it to him. My whole beef with Trump's grifts all along have been that they're so small minded. Like it's essentially like stealing $20 out of a cash register, but over and over and over again. And now he figured out a way to steal Air Force One.
Yeah.
It did it. He got a real one. Because it's like, they're going to give Air Force One to America, then he's going to take it.
Right.
He's heisting Air Force One, and no one's talking about it that way.
I know, it's weird. Speaking of the way people are talking about it, though, what do you think, like, you know, it's a bribe or whatever, but for what? Like, I saw people on Reddit, of course, like, lefties on Reddit saying, like, oh yeah, it's funny how this type of thing starts happening right after he switches his stance on, after he screws Israel over or whatever, basically, right?
Yeah, but that's definitely, well, he didn't, like, we're going to get into the Israel part of it a little later, but it's okay. So for context, it's time to remember some stuff, because apparently like our entire political media apparatus is cursed with not remembering stuff. Okay. During the first Trump administration, Jared Kushner's dad shook down Qatar for a real estate bailout. Qatar turned him down. The U.S. then let Saudi Arabia and the UAE blockade Qatar, and they very nearly invaded. Secretary of State at the time, Rex Tillerson, tried to stop them and defend Qatar, where America does have a military base, but Jared Kushner intervened against Qatar. And anyway, they ended up bailing out Jared Kushner's commercial real estate venture in Manhattan. And Qatari officials said openly at the time, they told U.S. media they understood it all to be payback for not making the investment. And if they had to do it differently, they would have done it. If they'd known the dynamic, they would have just paid up front last time. So this could also just be a preemptive bribe for curry favor going forward. It could be for stuff in specific. Who knows? But I don't understand why no one's brought that up. But anyway, I'm not in charge of bringing stuff up. Like, the whole thing is, like, the plane's $400 million. He could have just bought it. The last estimate I've seen is he's making $1 billion a month off his crypto and still wants a free plane. Also,
that's because only losers would buy it, though, Marcy. That's a loser mentality, what you just said. So, like, if you can get it for free, why buy it? That's his whole argument here.
Mm-hmm. For context's sake, Qatar allegedly, air quote, allegedly spent $880 million in gifts to FIFA to get the World Cup. So Trump could have held out for way more. How is owning the president of the United States worth less than half of the World Cup?
Mm-hmm.
We're such fucking cheap whores, man. Also, the royal family of Qatar has been using this plane for over a decade. It's a fucking hand-me-down. We got sloppy second planes coming in, man.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they did like a depreciation valuation on it or whatever, and it's still worth $400 million. I didn't know they'd been in it for 10 years already.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Qatar put a lot of thought into it and gave him the perfect gift, because Trump's been obsessed with Air Force One for a long time. Like, remember, he tried to get new Air Force Ones because the current models were built in, like, I don't know, they're 40 years old or whatever. And he doesn't like the paint scheme either because it's light blue. He wants it to be red, white, and blue, which coincidentally is the same color scheme as the Trump Organization plane. And he has a model of his dream Air Force One that sits on a table in the Oval Office. If you got this picture, Matt, he has a toy plane that he likes to fantasize about flying in.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guitar.
Pretty good looking plane.
Yeah, not bad. But I guess part of his beef with Air Force One is that, like, it's not as, he doesn't think it's as nice or as fancy as his Trump organization plane.
Right. Which I mean, you know, I feel like it shouldn't be, really, like, in my mind, like, depending on what he thinks is fancy. Like, you know, the president, it's supposed to be $400,000 a year in salary and is like the ultimate public servant or whatever, hypothetically. Like, I don't think there shouldn't be a golden toilet on the president's plane or whatever. It should be safe and fucking have all the, like, you know, if you need to launch a drone strike from somewhere over Milwaukee, you can do that from it. But I don't see why it needs to be, like, opulent or whatever, which is what he cares about.
It's functional. It's got to be able to, like, do tight maneuvers if other planes try to attack it. And, we all seen Air Force One.
Yeah.
So, quoting here from ABC, so Trump toured this plane in February when it was in West Palm Beach. So he's been wanting this plane but they basically, like, gave him a test drive in February. And they've been trying to work out the deals with this ever since. Because the DOJ and DOD both put together, like, legal memorandums. Like, Pam Bondi personally wrote one saying this was cool to take. She said it does not constitute bribery because it does not run afoul of the Constitution's prohibition on foreign gifts because the plane is not being given to an individual, but rather to the United States Air Force and then eventually to the Presidential Library Foundation, which will then let the president use it. It's not being given to the president.
Right.
It's been given for the president to use. It's a deeply funny workaround for the concept of bribery. It's like saying, well, he paid you money to do X. Like, no. He did not pay me money. He did not give me money. He put the money on the table. Then I picked it up. Wow. You're like, we've been defeated by the power of
that's kind of how all kinds of shit in, like, high-level business and commerce works and stuff, and also crime and fucking, you know, just money laundering and shell companies and tax evasion and all that stuff is all kind of just, like, weird loopholes like that where, like, legally speaking, there's this workaround where everybody knows what, like, you know, is actually happening at the end of the day or the reason they do it, but it doesn't matter because, you know.
Yeah, the Supreme Court's legalized. You gotta prove there's a knowing quid pro quo. So if you're the mayor and I put a pool in your house and you coincidentally give my trucking company a bid, you got to prove that you gave me the bid in exchange for the pool. And, you know, like, we put it in writing or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just think, like, the emoluments clause is so funny. Like, because Qatar is run by a king. And the emoluments clause kind of seems quaint because we get more figurative with it because it forbids gifts, accepting gifts from any king, prince, or foreign state. And I got to imagine showing this to, like, the founders because it's explicitly what they worried about. Like, we were a poor, weak country. Is somebody just buying our president?
Right.
And there'd be like, the only thing they would find shocking about this is, like, wait, they got brown kings now? Has the world gone woke?
Right.
Not for nothing, Pam Bondi's last job was as a lobbyist for Qatar, where she made, I think, $115,000 a month. Kash Patel had a lobbying job for Qatar that he did not report. There's Qatari money flowing up and down this administration. I guess with Bondi, maybe her last direct deposit might not have been cleared yet. That's how recently she was on their payroll. The plane itself, dude, have you seen the pictures of the inside of it?
No, I have not. I'd like to, though. We're about to do
that. Yeah, throw up this picture. There's a picture of the bedroom, Matt, if you have this first one. This is where the President of the United States is going to be sleeping.
Okay.
It's like Art Deco from the 70s or something. Yeah. Like, throw this picture of this, like, bubble staircase. The whole thing feels like it's like a time capsule wrapped in plastic.
I knew it would be like that, meaning, like, I knew it would be kind of weird and tacky or whatever, and it definitely, it suits Trump, you know what I mean? Like, he's...
Yeah.
It's definitely his type of shit. But I feel like all the oil money over there and the stuff, you know, they, like, throw it around like crazy, but it's all on kind of, you know, kind of tacky shit, largely, a lot of times, or whatever.
Yeah.
Or stuff that's, you know, he put a lion in the passenger seat of a Ferrari or whatever.
Yeah. That's like a staircase. Like, this feels very, like, Boogie Nights. Like, it looks like, like a staircase. You come down those stairs, and they'd be like a sunken living room with shag carpeting where you have an orgy or something. Mm-hmm. And this is what the President of the United States thinks is opulent. The Qatari royals, by the way, for context here, the Al-Thani family, they're claimed descendants of the biblical figure Ishmael, who was the first son of Abraham. So maybe Trump thinks this is his shot to get in the Bible too, which, you know, will definitely come out before Winds of Winter.
Yeah.
the current emir of Qatar is Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, Sheikh Tamim, we'll call him. He was educated in the UK, but also married his cousin. So sort of a classic. The first woman he married was his second cousin, I think. He's only got three wives, so pretty progressive. usually power there changes hands in bloodless coups. Tamim got power after his older brothers both renounced the throne. One was too fundamentalist for like the Qatari deep state. The other one just wanted to party. I admire a Qatari sheik. Yeah,
absolutely. That's exactly what I was about to say. Like the dude, the one that's like the, you know, especially, I don't know. It sounds like that wasn't the oldest one. It's like, if you're just an oil prince or whatever from over there, you just party all the time, or you got to go to Mar-a-Lago, you know, sometimes and have conferences and listen to fucking, Cash Patel and fucking Roger Stone give speeches and stuff like that. Or you could just be like, again, railing coke with big cats and fucking international hookers and fancy cars and jets and all that shit. It's like, I'd probably just do the latter two, I think. Just let my brother handle the rest of it.
Yeah, I mean, the Al-Thani family is like 20,000 members. Only one of them has to have a job, and unfortunately, it's running the country. Like, why would you fuck? Would you volunteer to be the one guy who has a job?
Right.
Talk about you having to go to Mar-a-Lago. Tamim in real life is friends with Trump, going back to before he was president, because they're both involved in real estate ventures and like golf courses and shit. The Qataris are big art collectors. Like they have like billions of dollars in art. They're trying to refocus their economy to be a knowledge based economy by 2030. So it's deeply funny. They're like the entire Middle East is trying to get their economies off hydrocarbons.
Of course,
and we're saying there's no climate change.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah. Qatar itself is a weird like. You treat all these different like Emiratis or whatever like they're all the same, but Qatar is like the weird cousin even in the Middle East. They just had a decade long Cold War with not just the Saudis but the whole Arab League. The Saudis say that the Qatar supports terrorism. That's their beef with Qatar. The guys who funded 9/11 are trying to warn the world, hey, these guys might fund a 9/11.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be, you know, who would better know, you know, from one perspective, it's like, you know, that they are the subject matter experts on funding 9/11s, the Saudis. So, you know, it seems like they'd be on top of it.
The whole world's so fucking, I know it's weird all the time, but like, think about it. The Saudis are trying to say Qatar is their enemy, that they're funding terrorism, by which they mean the Hamas, which we'll get to, maybe they're kind of defenders of the Houthis. But United Kingdom had King Charles named Sheikh Tamim. This is in December of 2024, just a couple months ago. King Charles named him an honorary Knight Grand Cross of the Most Honorable Order of the Bath, whatever the fuck that is.
Yes.
So the King of England's giving him like,
it, that.
Yeah, yeah. Giving him like ceremonial titles and shit. And I guess it's because the Qataris own like a big chunk of London real estate. I don't fucking know. But the whole like, yeah, all this stuff makes me feel like I'm going insane, because Qatar funds Hamas. I don't mean that like openly funds Hamas.
Doesn't the actual people that are in charge of Hamas, they live in Qatar, don't they?
Right.
Isn't that where they're like located at? Yeah. Right.
Yeah, they run Hamas out of Qatar.
Right.
Qatar's given them $1.8 billion that we know about. And so while that's going on, we're rounding up students for writing letters in support of Palestinian civilians.
Right.
Speaking of which, Ramesa Ozturk just got released. She was the Tufts University PhD student who got snatched off the street by ICE, and they revoked her visa without telling her. A judge ordered to be released, and they did release her. And her press conference, Ramesa said this, I wanted to quote, "America is the greatest democracy in the world, and I believe in those values that we share. I have faith in the American system of justice." Boy, I don't know what to make of anything right now, but she seems like a really sweet girl, and I'm glad she's free.
Well, I mean, that could also just be a like, hey, we're cool. Listen, we're cool. You know,
right?
Like, you ain't got to take me back. I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm just going to go. You know, she's like had to be questioning some things during that 6 weeks in the detention center or whatever. And she gets out and it's like, you know,
the press conference, she was there with Ed Markey. And it was a tone of like resolute defiance, not like it really was. I believe in America. And I think this will work itself out. She's a Turkish national, if you guys remember. So to recap here, just how the official position of the Trump administration is that MS-13 members are not MS-13, but MS-13's victims are MS-13. writing an op-ed is Hamas. Buying the rockets that Hamas shoots at Israeli settlements is not Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we all keep track here. It's really difficult to make sense of what the fuck Trump is up to in the Middle East right now.
Right.
If you can make sense of it, I guess it's basically just a bribe off while also trying to maintain some sort of consistency with like who we hate.
So did he actually say something about supporting a two-state solution or whatever? Was that just bullshit on Twitter? Okay. Because yeah, I saw some people mentioning it on Reddit too, but I didn't know if that was just, you know.
I think there might have been some anonymous reporting like a Jewish an Israeli tabloid, like a Zionist tabloid about it, but there's nothing like Trump's. He 2 weeks ago he was saying we should ethnically cleanse Gaza to put in like a white lotus on the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And now the idea that like Trump's become a good guy or whatever, but it is difficult to keep track of because like you said, there are a bunch of those fake news accounts on Twitter who put breaking in front of Trump, you know, announcing he was going to recognize a Palestinian state in Gaza. He did go behind Israel's back to negotiate directly with Hamas and got the last living U.S. hostage released. And whatever, like, I don't think it's that he's backstabbed Israel. I think he's not being as pro-Israel as Israel had hoped when they tried to get him elected. But this is a really funny image that was floating around right-wing Israeli Telegram channels this weekend.
Yeah.
It's Donald Trump fighting for Hamas.
Yeah.
anyway, Israel, you guys helped install the world's most bribable man. It's weird how everyone thinks he's only going to fuck other people over.
I know. I was about to say, it's like, I'm not going to lie. I would find some amount of schadenfreude in it for sure if he did actually turn on them after they, you know, definitely poured a lot of money into fucking getting him reelected again. It's like you said, everybody always thinks that he's only going to screw over other people when it's like, that's never been how any one person in all of human history who operates like Trump, that's a fundamental truth about them is that they screw everybody over. They're all in it for themselves. That's the very nature of their being. If they screw other people over, they'll screw you over too. There's no honor amongst thieves, as they say.
Right. And you literally cannot outbid the royal family of Qatar.
Right.
They just gave him their third airplane, and he's happy about it. Like they don't fucking give a shit. Like, the world needs rules for most civilized people to operate, and you have people in charge of civilized society throwing away the rules left and right and wondering why they're fucking losing. So the security part of this I find deeply funny. The American military and law enforcement apparatus spend so much money on continuity of government and keeping the president alive that it's honestly mind-boggling. And here you have Trump just taking an uninspected plane from nobody on spec.
Right. I mean, I just assumed that the Secret Service or whoever's in charge of that type of thing would not let him get on it if they don't do some kind of something, right?
But like
some sort of sweep or something. I don't know how that shit works.
We'll get into how it works, but you can't let's start from the physical security of the president for a second. We're the only country in the world that supplies their own helicopters for overseas trips. Like if the U.S. president goes to France, he flies around in Marine One. Mm-hmm. If the French president comes to the United States, he flies around Marine One. If he goes to the U.K., he flies around a British military helicopter. Other countries have to trust the security of their heads of state to the country they're visiting.
Yeah.
We don't trust anybody with this shit. When the president flies overseas, he's followed by a second backup plane that can serve as Air Force One. He's also followed by the plane that could run the nuclear war during a Holocaust from. That's three big planes. He also sent a fleet of smaller planes they park nearby that can be take off shorter runways in case shit really goes awry in like a London has fallen type situation. All right. And then he's just like, yeah, I'm getting on a plane. and the informational security part you're talking about, anybody who thinks this Qatari airplane won't be bugged all to hell is out of their fucking minds. And we watch TV shows with spies and like people just do a little bug detector, like a Sopranos, and it beeps. Then you take the thing out of the phone earpiece or the light bulb, and then you're safe.
Uh-huh.
But it's more complicated than that in real life because in real life, there's some people doing the surveillance, know those devices exist. They build devices to defeat those devices, and around we go in a circle.
Oh, I'm sure it's insane, and especially what like governments have and militaries and stuff, the type of shit that the, you know, spy craft that goes on now, and I'm sure it's like absolutely bananas stuff.
And anybody, like anybody surveilling the President of the United States or Qatari Secret Police knows that Trump did a test drive on that plane back in February. He's been wanting it ever since then. So wherever that plane has been since then, whatever intelligence agencies have had access to it, have bugged the shit out of it if it wasn't already bugged since February, all right? For context, American presidents stopped staying at the Waldorf Astoria in New York just because it was bought by Chinese interests, and they're worried about being spied on. That's just the president sleeping in a bed. This is Air Force One, where they have a lot of important meetings.
Mm-hmm.
For context, like, there's too many electronics and wires to check. A 747 contains hundreds of miles of wire and millions of parts, and it's basically a flying computer with millions of lines of code. If it's not built as Air Force One, it's impossible to ever know that it's secure.
Okay.
To trust it, they'd have to take it apart down to every single individual part,
right,
inspect each individual part to see what it does and how it works and if it has anything hidden in it, and then reassemble the whole plane from scratch, whatever parts they can trust. And here you have Trump taking a plane from the Qatari Secret Service being like, Secret Police being like, yeah, I will speak directly into this airplane toilet.
Yeah.
The President of the United States ended up on a Qatari toilet cam site is a pretty fitting end to all this, honestly.
Man, how wild would that shit be, literally? But, yeah, I don't know. It's a crazy time. I mean, he's definitely going to – I mean, he's going to take it, right? I mean, that's a done deal, essentially. Like, no one's going to stand in the way of this, right?
He wants it in service by the end of the year. I bet you they drag their fucking feet on it because they cannot let the planet president fly on this, on this shit. They just can't. The only way to make it work is to you remember the old A-team they used to sedate B.A. Baracus and he needed to fly, Mr. D's character?
Yeah.
They'd have to sedate Trump every time he gets on the plane so he can't spill secrets while he's flying. So to tell you what we're talking about, the context here, let's do a little fun with spy history for a second. In 1945, the Soviets gave the U.S. ambassador to the USSR a big carved great seal. It was ugly as shit. It was red, but I guess the goddamn ambassador valued it because he hung it right over his desk. It contained a small membrane and an antenna, which could pick up and transmit audio when hit with a radio beam, which was designed by the guy who invented the theremin, by the way.
Nice.
Yeah, so this guy's just like, I just want auto-tune Halloween, and the KGB made him make fucking surveillance technology.
Yeah, there's a few people like that, and that whole era is so wild for that type of thing, because there was a, who was the, there's like a famous actress from back then who kind of developed a precursor of Wi-Fi during wartime or whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Nah, I hope it was B. Arthur, though.
Fucking Hedy Lamarr or somebody like that. And then, obviously, Alan Turing and all the shit he was doing and whatnot. It's just Christopher Lee doing, like, James Bond stuff in real life behind the scenes before, you know, becoming an actor and everything. It's just a lot of wild stuff going on during that period. Mark, I don't know if people know that. Interesting period of history.
The 40s and
50s, all that.
The guy that wrote James Bond, Ian Fleming, didn't he work for MI6 during the war or something like that?
Yeah, and so did Christopher Lee, and also they are also cousins. I'm pretty sure Ian Fleming and Christopher Lee are cousins, I think. So it's been like rumored before that Christopher Lee's at least part of the actual whatever inspiration for the James Bond character and stuff, but I don't know. Anyway, it's
so fun. So facts. The guy Leo Theremin, I think, was the guy's name or whatever. So his thing, what was ingenious about that was it wasn't a transmitter when it wasn't transmitting, right? So it was literally undetectable. They couldn't find it. So when I talk about how when they have to take the plane apart and figure out what everything does, like there's going to be stuff on there that doesn't look or talk like a radio because it's not activated by shooting radio waves into it. That's how they did the Theremin thing. It's a bad example because that's 1945 technology. That device, by the way, was discovered by total accident and luck in 1952 when a British radio operator eavesdropping on the Soviets heard Americans speaking, and they had to piece together from context what the hell was going on and who was talking on it and where they might have been listening from, and then found the seal and take it apart and figure out what was a radio and how it worked. All right. So he was in the ambassador's office for 7 years, and they discovered about pure luck, or they could have been still recording us today, probably. In the 1970s, the Soviets planted a monitoring device in the U.S. embassy, and they knew something was up because their spies kept getting arrested. It still took years to find because it was so fucking genius. The IBM Selectric typewriters had been almost invisibly modified to broadcast every keystroke. It's like an early version of like keystroke log accounts like they do for hackers use now. Basically,
Damn, that's wild. I did not know I could do that then. So, yeah, so it's like typewriters. So, like, the clerks and whoever else in the U.S. Embassy, they're typing out all these memos and stuff, and those memos are getting, like, basically retransmitted to a Soviet typewriter and typed up and printed out, or the equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And so that was discovered in the 70s, and by, they were still finding these devices all over the embassy in the 80s. And by 1988, it was clear that we could never find all the monitoring devices in the half-built new Moscow embassy, to the point that Reagan declared that the half-built new building must be torn down and rebuilt from scratch. And ultimately, it turned out there were hundreds of bugs. Reagan did the counterintelligence version of burning down your house because it had bed bugs to combat 1974 technology. And Trump's going to be on Air Force One talking to more microphones than like a coach at an NCAA tournament press conference.
Yeah.
I got to admit, though, it would be a pretty good bit to not bug it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And just like have a CIA guy going all fucking insane trying to find where they hid this shit. Just like remember the Fly episode of Breaking Bad where Walt's going insane trying to find one bug in his meth lab?
Of course. Who could forget? One of the most famous bottle episodes of all time, I believe.
Yeah, directed by Ryan Johnson, I think.
For people that don't. No, a bottle episode of TV is one that takes place entirely in like one location. And it's oftentimes done in the middle of the season or something to help save like money in the budget or that type of thing. To sort of confine it to one spot, but they can end up having a lot of fun with them. Case in point, that one that Mark's talking about at Breaking Bad. I wanted to ask you before we go, Mark, because it didn't come up, although I do think it is breaking news, but also maybe you're just like, who gives a fuck? It doesn't even mean anything. Do you hear about there's a new trade deal, you know? Which is basically we just undid. I was talking on Patreon earlier. It just seems like Trump just tried to like unpunch his own balls or something, because they made like a deal with China where it's like, okay, all those 150% tariffs, all right, we're not going to do that, but we might, but we're not going to now. There's like a 90-day pause, and nobody. I don't know. I just wonder what you thought about that, if anything.
It'll be different. I don't know if we're talking about, because it'll be different tomorrow. But basically, what Trump did was he jacked up tariffs on China to 145%. They retaliated by jacking up tariffs on our stuff like 125%, I think.
Yeah.
And he's like, then they go negotiate. Like, okay, we'll knock ours down to 30 if you have to go back down to 10. It's like they're still tariffing each other. And the only thing you got out of it was them knocking down the tariffs they only enacted to retaliate against their tariffs
in the first place, right?
Anyway, I thought the tariffs were good because they were going to move manufacturing back here and eliminate the income tax.
So why
we're not doing
that
anymore?
Right.
Right. Yes,
I agree with all that. Right. You shouldn't be, if you are buying into Trump's bullshit for why we need tariffs and why they're good in the first place, then you shouldn't be celebrating him doing this, but they are. So that seems to imply that you acknowledge that level of tariffs is a bad idea, because now you're celebrating this being a good, I don't know. It's just, it's all kind of like double talk or whatever. And again, it's all fabricated out of nowhere, like everything is with them. Like, they caused all this in the first place, and now they're like trying to undo some of it and jerking themselves off for reaching a solution and everything. And it's like, I don't know, you're just going and you're chasing your own tail or whatever. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I thought the funniest part I saw was like they keep talking about dolls. They try to make everyone who's worried about tariffs seem like infants for caring about little girls having dolls. But I saw somebody do the supply chain breakdown. It's like, we can get dolls from other places. The problem is most of the doll hair comes from China. So we'll just have bald dolls.
Yeah. Bald dolls.
It's so funny about Christmas of all bald dolls. And everybody's like, we have bald dolls because of Donald Trump. It's going to be so fucking funny.
Yeah. Little girls like crying across the country on Christmas morning because of Donald Trump specifically. He made every little American girl cry on Christmas morning. It would be funny. Anyway. All right. Yeah. Thank you guys for watching. We appreciate it. Remind you again, of course, go to TreyCrowder.com and check out all the wares over there, primarily tour dates and tickets for those shows. Come see me. Also, a link to my special Trash Daddy. There is also, I haven't been mentioning, there's a merch tab. I've been selling merch at the shows. I oftentimes sell out. You can just get the merch straight off the website if you want to. I should at least publicize that once somewhere. I guess I just did. Check that out. Also, support the show on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more, or search for my name on Patreon. $5 a month, you get 2 full-length bonus episodes. And reminder, producer Matt Got some special stuff going on. Good SKUs, he's calling it. Good people doing good things. That's exclusively on our audio feed. So if you're watching, if you're video only on SKUs, you're not going to get Matt's good SKUs. So I like the audio version and check it out.
Throw that back up there, Matt, for a second. I like the implied burn on us here because, like, good people.
Yeah.
Was it good people talking about good things?
Good SKUs, good people doing good things. It's like, this is a nice counter programming to what we normally do, which is bad people.
Bad people talking about talking about bad people doing bad things
all the time. Yeah, right. Yeah. Thanks, Matt. All right. And thank you guys for watching. Appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.